want to take a moment to take a personal look back at Libya with someone who has many personal memories. Hisham Mutar's family once lived in a beautiful house in Tripoli, the capital, which is so besieged at the moment. He had servants, many cars, an active social life. And then Colonel Gaddafi's bloody Libyan revolution. Hisham's family escaped to Kenya, then went to Cairo, where years later Hisham's father was taken away by Egyptian secret police to a Libyan prison. Hisham hasn't heard from his father since 1995 and is now watching from London what's going on in his nation. Joining us, acclaimed author, Libyan author and activist Hisham Mutar. Good morning, sir.
Hello, good morning.
I can only imagine, as someone who doesn't have the personal connection to your nation that you do, what it's like to watch what's going on, to see your countrymen both bravely and very movingly struggle for freedom and give up their lives in the struggle. What is that like to watch that from overseas?
Well, I mean, one feels vindicated, you know, because for a long time we felt that we were caught, that there was this idea, and it was only an idea, but it was the idea was that we were caught between these two beasts, that between the, or two fears, you know, the that we either will be ruled by dictators or that we will be, some sort of dark boogeyman of the sort of the Muslim extremists would take over. These were sort of the false ideas that were floating around, I think, in many people's minds. And I think what these revolutions have done, Tunisia and Egypt and now in Libya, is that they've shown that the humanist, secular, populist is far more, not only far more creative politically, but far more relevant and powerful, frankly, have done things that neither the two sides, the political Muslim movements or the dictatorships could do. And so in a way that feels like a sort of wonderful relief and an incredibly exciting thing for the future. But specifically for Libya right now, my emotions are focused more on the kind of incredibly macabre extent of the violence that the Gaddafi regime is willing to inflict on its own people in order to hold on to power. And that's just incredibly frightening. I have no doubt that it's the end of Gaddafi, but what I am concerned about is how many more people must die.
And I think we're all concerned about that. We're speaking with Hisham Mutar, a Libyan author of In the Country of Men, which is shortlisted for a 2006 Booker Prize. You know, exactly what you're talking about is what many people are afraid of, that after Gaddafi goes, there will be inevitably a period of chaos in the country, that there is no organized opposition ready to step in and lead the country out of this very, very violent transition. I assume you're concerned about the same thing. And that has Western people concerned that what it will inevitably lead to is sectarian violence and religious extremism.
Well, I think, uncertainty is part of life. And being between stages, a young country such as Libya needs to be allowed to be uncertain. I think that's a healthy thing. But also, I must declare that I am slightly impatient with this anxiety, because, first of all, many of the Western governments have helped prop up Gaddafi and give him the sort of legitimacy through business deals and through treaties with him. The sort of legitimacy and that gave him the strength and the power to remain, dictator, and to remain in a position where he could effectively oppress his own people, decimate civil society, the independence of the courts, freedom of speech, all the things that, a modern country needs. But that's not to say that I am not also anxious. I mean, it would be insincere, and I think it would be very bizarre for anyone not to be anxious about the future of one's country when suddenly everything comes apart.
More than just the future of your country. I mean, personally, for you, you haven't seen your father. You got the last letter you received from him, it was in 1995. Do you have hopes that there's a possibility you could discover that he's still alive?
To be completely honest, I haven't slept almost at all since this whole thing started, because we had to set up a kind of ad hoc newsroom here to try to get news out of Libya, because, as you know, the journalists have been kept out. So I've been focused on these things in such an obsessive way, and perhaps I'm doing it in order not to think about the question that you've just asked me. But I'm sure, you know, that as soon as I'm able to, we will start looking for him and trying to find out what happened to him. I just wanted to say one thing about your previous question about the future. I think where my hope stems from, it stems from the nature, the sort of DNA of the movement in Libya. You know, how it is inclusive and pro-democratic. You know, the things they're calling for are accountability and multi-party system, you know, end of corruption, transparency, all that sort of thing. Yeah, it's kind of universal values. So so that's why I'm also comforted by that. Yeah.
Will you return to Libya once all the violence and chaos is over?
Yes, I hope so. I hope when everything concludes and I'm able to, I will be definitely on, going back. Yes.
Do you see yourself as being sort of a voice for people in the way that Mohammed al-Baradei was when he returned to Egypt?
Certainly not. No, I speak for no one but myself. I'm not a politician. I'm a very private man. I'm a novelist. So I'm not a man of action.
And yet, perhaps we could see a new novel coming, inspired by the events in Libya right now.
I beg your pardon?
We could see a new novel from you, perhaps inspired by what's going on?
The novels, all art takes a long time to digest these events. So maybe in 20 years.
20 years from now, we will be looking for a new book from Hisham Matar, acclaimed Libyan author, activist, author of In the Country of Men, among many other things. Thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure.
That's the story of Hisham Matar's family, whose destiny took them from their home in Libya to Cairo to the UK. We're wondering, what is your family's story? Do you have a personal connection to what's going on in Libya, or perhaps in some of the other places where protests are going forward in the Middle East? Tell us your story, or you can write it at thetakeaway.org. And if you include family photos, that would be fantastic.